Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meet Brandon. Brandon doesn't quite understand the power of email marketing and sales funnels, and he doesn't want to lose his customers to a company he loves either. No worries. Brandon is completely safe. The ATS JR Network will do most of the marketing for Brandon and make sure that every customer he brings into the company remains with him. Imagine having emails sent out to your customer every day that add value to their lives and makes them money. Also, imagine the company Brandon loves marketing to his customers while he's at work or asleep. Brandon's customer will purchase the next level of ATS while he's busy. Brandon may not understand sales funnels, but Brandon certainly understands how ATS keeps giving him pay raises monthly. At ATS, we take care of your business and financial goals with you. Join Brandon in ATS today.
Welcome, everyone, to Brick by Brick podcast with Antonio T. Smith Jr. and myself, Tempest Smith. Hallelujah, because it's Sunday. Thank you all so much for joining us. It's been a very long time since Antonio and I have been together in this capacity. I say this capacity because there are thousands of other capacities that we're together in, but it feels good, and I am hashtag so happy and grateful, pun intended, to be back recording with you. So without further ado, Antonio, as of this recording, today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to you and to everyone, all the dads
Thank you.
Who are listening. You went on a tangent before we started recording, but I hope you're not going to go back into that tangent again. But how are you today, sir?
I am doing pretty good. So I welcome all of you. Normally, y'all don't know about it, but I used to try to sell Tempest away, but we ain't doing that no more. That's a long time ago. And you can't have
that's
it.
Called prostitution.
Well, that's what we used to do. And then I used to do all sorts of stuff. I used to try to get some single folk out there to try to get them. I can't have it. That's okay. That's all right. It's just done for, okay? Good stuff. No, everything is great. And this time we get to see part of our audience, Tempest. We're going to get to see part of our audience, right? That's weird.
This is awkward and weird, but we're going to do what we do.
We're going to make it work. Now, do you want to allow questions as we go, or what do we do?
Sure, we can do questions as we go.
Let's make it work.
I think that would be fun.
Well, take us away, Tim. Tell us what we're talking about.
So today on this beautiful Father's Day, our topic is how to handle a 9-to-5 job while building your legacy. And I purposely chose the word legacy. And not building a business, because going back to work while building your legacy hurts worse, in my opinion, from my personal experience.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about it, because we've both been there. We've both had to give up things, lose things, just to build this here. And everyone knows about the stories of the Doritos, splitting a bag of Doritos, Arizona teas, et cetera. But you just said you chose legacy in the title. If you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Tempest chooses all our titles. I never choose them. It's rare that I know what we're going to talk about before, but I didn't know this time. And you just said, Tempest, that it hurts when you're building a legacy and you have to go back to work. Can you break that down, please? Because somebody has to be feeling that.
Okay, so build a business, like, no offense, you can kind of hokey pokey with that. Like, you can shut down and be like, okay, well, it didn't work out. I'm going to go back to what I was doing. But when you're trying to build a legacy, or as you were talking about before we hit record, about missing your kids' birthday parties and things like that, it's different, right? Because if you were just focused on building your business, then you can shut the business down and go hang out at Chuck E. Cheese or wherever your kids go party at. But when you're focused on building a legacy, meaning after I die and after my kids are gone and after my kids' kids are gone, like when you're focused generational wealth, right, it's different. You wake up early in the morning, like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, thinking about, you know, did I give enough, not just for me or for my employees, but did I give enough for the next generation? So when you're in the middle of building that and you mm-hmm. have to pause and go to work or pause and have to find a job because the money isn't rolling in the way you wanted it to roll in, that hurts worse. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if you're an entrepreneur who's kind of halfway into it, it's easy to give it up. But when it's your legacy, when it's your last name on the line, it's different, in my opinion, in my experience.
All right. Wait a minute. We got a lot of stuff to break down there. Normally, people would do this, but she is on fire right now. I heard loud. In fact, I see Shannon in the chat here says, I can't hear nothing else. Sorry. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her because that's, you right. That's when your pain becomes louder than your prayers. Can anyone relate to that, right? When your pain becomes louder than your prayers, it's, right? Tippett said something that really, really hurt me talking. It was just a little word. I think it was like 5 letters or something like that. A little word means nothing to no one. But when you put it in a sentence with legacy, it kills you, especially if you're 100% in, 10 toes deep, or whatever. And what she said was, when you have to pause your legacy and go to work. Ooh, okay. That stings a lot, just hearing it, because we can't wrap our minds around pausing us to go work for a slave master. How did you feel, Tempest, when you had to do it?
I felt like a failure. I felt like the kids I don't have, I've already let them down. And I felt like the mom who I said I'm gonna take care of is still having to go do what she's doing because I can't provide for her. So I felt like I was failing the generation behind me and failing the generations in front of me. And it made me feel less of a person, because here I am telling people, oh, I'm going to be this, you know what I mean? I'm going to go build this, yada, yada, yada. But you seeing me clock in. That hurts. I don't care what nobody say. That hurts your ego, right? You have to have some real conversations with yourself to say, after I get off work, I still have to go home and not chill out. I got to go build, because I can't be in this situation forever. Someone in chat said, you wonder, when is it ever going to happen? Exactly. I'm at work. Can I say it the way I want to say it? At work,
please.
Building someone else's legacy and not building my own. Making sure someone else's kids and grandkids are okay. But I'm barely making it with the business I have and the job I'm clocking into.
Oh, we should have helped a lot of people today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, this is Brick by Brick, in which we help you build your business brick by brick. Sometimes we give away marketing tips. Sometimes we just be real and tell you how much we failed. And apparently, you are in a being real and tell you how much we failed conversation. Honestly, I remember before I met Tempest, you know what? The funny thing is, I told this story for the first time ever to my team. Tempest knew, but I told this for the first time ever to my team like a couple of days ago, and it seems like it was prepping me to say it in front of all of you and embarrass myself. I got caught in the 2008 housing crisis. twice. September 12, 2008, Hurricane Ike came through Galveston and I lost everything. Lost everything. I attached myself to someone, learned how to do real estate, picked up really quick work for free, bought five houses by 2009-ish. By that, I mean within 365 days or 400 days, I ended up having five houses. I went from nothing to five houses as fast as possible. And I remember the last house that I bought, the lady told me, hey, you're moving really fast. I didn't know the lady, but she gave me some advice that I did not listen to long. I should have. She said, don't overcompensate yourself. Oh, I need someone to hear me. Don't overcompensate yourself. If a renter walks out on you, sir, you're going to have to cover that rent. And right now you're pretty stretched thin. Well, me being smart, I didn't listen. And of course, renter walked out. I had to take care of that. Then another renter walked out. Now I got to go move into a rent house just to give up where I'm at, move into a rent house. Long story short, I lost all five of those houses faster than I bought them. It's a domino effect. And it taught me a lesson that you need to become a great business person before you become a great investor. Taught me that. But here's what happened. That's 2009. I had to go back to work. And the only job I can find, remember, 2008, Hurricane Ike, 2009, we are in the middle of a recession. Super recession. Super duper recession. Really close to becoming Great Depression. And I got to go work at Little Caesars for $8.50 an hour. I went from $75,000 a year plus commission to Little Caesars, $8.50 an hour. And I got $8.50 because of my experience and me being a veteran. The pay was $7.25.
Wow.
I got $1.25 extra because I went to two wars. And I've been a manager for a long time, right? And I stayed there, Law. I stayed there, Jerome. I swear I did. Tip is, when did I leave Little Caesars?
November 2011.
Yep, that's right. November 2011. That's 2.5 years. Building. I met Tempest as a boss that had to go do 40 plus hours flipping pizza, making dough. I had to convince Tempest I was the one to follow while having a full-time job as a manager at Little Caesars. Hurt. It hurt bad. But I knew that I wasn't going to be there forever. But here's what happened, and I'll throw it back to Tempest. I told them in 2010 I was going to retire in 2011. Y'all, I was broke. I was broke. But I loved those people so much because they saved me, and they were just good people. I gave them a year notice, not a 2 week notice, a year notice. Year notice. And I told them first before I had it. Oh, I'm about to start talking. Nothing in the bank account. Nothing in the bank account. Can I push it further? Child support taking 50% of my wages. Okay. All of that. And I say, I'm going to retire. Had no plan, no nothing. And I told Tempest, I'm going to retire. And I went, actually, it was network marketing that did it, actually, to be honest with you. I went to network marketing, figured it out, and for a whole year, I gave up everything just to get it done. Tempest, you got a similar situation, a similar story, that which you had to do something like that. Why don't you tell us about it?
So the first time I
the first time work. so you got in pain more than once.
Yes. So I met you in that's definitely life. I met you and I was working, but I'm not talking about that. We started building and my car got repossessed on a Sunday afternoon. I was pissed and hurt at the same time because I left security to go follow this guy.
Follow me.
Following this guy got me carless.
Repossessed car.
And we're in school. Houston Baptist University. And neither one of us got a car. Come on, somebody. I'm close to Houston Baptist University. Someone else is 60 miles away from Houston Baptist University with an 8 o'clock class, by the way. So we had hours, I mean, literally hours, to figure out what we gonna do. So I think you figured out. I think somebody let you use a car. And we're in school, and I'm like, we ain't gonna make it. We ain't got gas money. We couldn't afford the Doritos, nothing. So I got a job. And I'm working part-time, and we building. And I'm working part-time, and they throw out a couple of extra hours. I take the overtime just for us to be broke. Just for us to get some Doritos. Just for us to get Arizona tea. Just for us to take care of company business while people behind the scenes struggling. And this was a ministry at the time. This wasn't coaching. This wasn't conferences. This was helping people. Helping people while we needed help ourselves. That is painful. We were giving people like hotel vouchers and meals. And we were hungry ourselves, watching people eat in front of us, praying for them, making sure that they're okay, and wondering if God knows that we are in the exact situation as the people we're helping. Helping people out, they say thank you, they fool and they gone about their business. We trying to figure out how we gonna get home. That was the first time. Did you keep some vouchers? No. Gave everything away. So ministry started doing good, right? And the job ended. So back to nothing, back to square one. I'm in school and then financial aid office comes through and like, hey girl, that grant that you thought you had, we ain't got it for you no more. You owe, I think it's $8,795.26. Huh, child, unenrolled right now because I ain't got it. So I'm pissed because I'm not in school. I'm pissed because we ain't got no money and I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and we still helping people. God making a way for them ain't made a way for us. So I go back to the job. Ask for a job back. This time they give me a full-time job. Same $7.50 an hour, but when you broke and hungry, $7.50 an hour is a blessing. So now I got a full-time job. Okay, Antonio, now we can make it a little bit. We can breathe a little bit better. Wrong. More money, more problems. Every problem that could have came up popped up from his repossession of cars. From lights being turned off, from being sick and needing to go to a doctor and needing money for medication to get better so you don't end up back in the hospital. Did I say lights getting turned off? Because that was happening every month for two households, right? Water getting turned off, needing gas to get to school, getting to school and not having money, not being able to eat, watching other people eat, and we scraping up money from the vending machine. That at that time, it wasn't corner store Doritos bag in the beginning. It was that little bitty 85 cent out the vending machine Doritos bag. And we struggling, but telling people God is good. Struggling, telling people, oh, you want Antonio to come speak at your church? Sure, no problem. We'll get there. Had no idea how we were going to get there. Get there, and he preach or he speak, and somebody give him $20. And we just scraped up 40 to get there. So we 20 in the hole. Still got to get back home. Still got to eat. He still got a family at home, right? So at this time, it was just Aiden, but Ashton was on the way. So a newborn on the way, a three-year-old at home. I had my own situation going on at home, and it was rough. And we building. We're building. Telling people to hang in there, coaching people, not knowing that we're coaching, and struggling. Hungry, broke, broken. Sitting on the side of the road because car has broken down and we have no way of getting a tow truck, no way, don't know where the money's gonna come from. We struggled, y'all. It's hot in Texas, right? 100 degrees, cars always broke down in the summertime, never in the wintertime. 100 plus degrees outside on 610, on 59. And then this man says, I want to go intern at Lakewood. Oh, okay. Thinking it's free. They say, oh, it's a fee attached to that. What, sis? Really? So now we're doing that. Someone question said, what kept you guys going? I'll answer for me, and then I'll let Antonio answer. I knew I complained, but I knew that it had to be something better than our current situation. It had to be something more than what we were going through. And at that time, I'm listening to Antonio with his ideas and listening to God say, keep following, when I wanted to quit. And I did quit him a couple of times, but I kept going back because God kept saying, it's something greater. And I was expecting something greater to happen like next week, next month. It's almost 8 years later.
Well, before I answer what kept us going, I'm going to write that down so I don't forget. I would like to follow that same energy, what kept me going. I wrote it down so I won't forget. What made you keep following me? Because I kept telling you this is going to work. What the hell? Why on earth? Because following me got you, was it two repossessions or one?
One.
All right. Well, I had three repossessions.
Lost the other car because I couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford to get it out the shop. Remember?
Yep. So, right. And I lost a car because I couldn't afford. The engine went out, cylinder broke, $3,000 to get out, and we didn't have it. We lived the lifestyle. If $300 came up, we wouldn't have that. Now you're talking about $3,000. What made you follow me? Because it's gonna answer. I don't know what the heck you're gonna say, because I've never asked you this before. But it's going to answer part of the question, at least your part of the question, what made us keep going. And let me just say that whole 8 years later, we were thinking 8 days later, it might have been 8 years. That's some BS. But that's exactly what happened. Sometimes, I don't even want to talk about that right now. Okay. What made you keep following me, giving you all those promises? What the hell was I saying to you? Come on, let me just talk. I don't know what was going on.
So it wasn't so much as what you were saying, because you were saying, we gonna make it, God gonna take care of us, yada yada yada. And at some point it was like, all right, well, where is God at? Because we own 59 right now. But so it wasn't your word, it was it was your drive that made me continue to follow you. Because I was ready and I did quit thousands of times. But it was like every time we would hit a roadblock, you would just get up and keep going. And I was like, dang, do we sleep now or what? And when I was ready to sleep, you wasn't ready to sleep. And I was like, okay. And it just didn't seem to bother you. But what really made me keep going were your kids. Your kids made me say, keep pushing, because I saw how Aiden and Aston looked at you. Like, I don't know, I just saw how they looked at you, and I saw how hard, I told you this morning, I saw how hard you were working so they didn't have to sleep in trash cans like you did, or they didn't have to experience abandonment from their parents like you did. And I don't know, your kids really pushed me, because I saw, even though you missed a lot and even though you weren't there, I saw how excited they were every time you walked into a room. Even if it was like 10 o'clock at night, I saw and heard how grateful they were for you. And I didn't have that with my dad. And I'm like, okay, so if these kids can believe in this guy, then maybe my adult self can believe in him too. Because you would tell them, you know, daddy's going to make a way, or we're going to get to do this. And they'd be like, okay, okay. And they'd be super excited and holding on to your every word. And they never got disappointed because it didn't happen the next day. They never got disappointed because it took 2 or 3 years for it to happen. They were just excited that you said it, and they held on to that belief. And when it did happen, I saw the joy in them. So I was like, okay, well, if this four-year-old and this little one-year-old who follows me around everywhere can have that kind of faith in you, certainly I can too. So, you're all right. But your kids really, your kids really helped me going.
I did not know she was going to say that. My youngest son, Ashton, took an immediate liking to Tempest. It was weird because he didn't talk to anyone. And he wound up, actually, his first words were to Tempest. And it's crazy. First words were to Tempest out there. Wow. His first words were Tempest. It was Tempest. It was her name. It's first, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Her name, which is really hard to say. As an adult, you know, this one-year-old winds up saying it, so that's pretty cool. Well, let me answer the question. I'll answer the question, and then I'll tell you the two things that were bothering me the most. Hopefully you received something for Tempest. I don't know what you received. I have no idea. You got something? Okay. I have no idea what you received. I was fighting back tears, because, you know, I'm tough so much. I was starting sweating, fighting back. I had to wipe myself, because everything inside was, trying to, it's too much pressure to fight myself and start sweating. What kept me going, it was personal. I have no other answer than that. It was personal. Everybody forgot about me. You know, I'm so not going to cry, okay? it was personal. It was hard growing up as me. It was hard. I'm serious. It was not easy. You know, it's so marketable now. And it's so made me famous. And it even pays me today. That was really, really hard to go through. You know, I would have birthdays, nobody would call. To this day, I don't even know my real birthday today. It's either July 20th or it's July 27th. That's a real story. I have no idea what my birthday is. The one I celebrate is the one I was told. The one the United States government has is a whole different one. It's crazy. When you grow up like me, it's not fair. It's not fair. And everything just wound up being really personal. I'm not sure how I can express that without, I don't mean that to sound arrogant. I'm not even sure how I sound. It's personal. I had to because I didn't have nothing else. My whole life would have meant nothing if I didn't succeed. I would have just been this kid with a bad childhood. And I don't like that. That bothers me, right? To just be the kid with the bad childhood as an adult, that pisses me off. I don't mean to be abrasive, but it really does. I had to do something. As a matter of fact, there's some people that I'm taking care of now, and my private life is like super private. And I was telling someone in it, yo, I made it, you know, and everything's happening. This launch is fit to happen, et cetera. And if I don't do it, I said the last 37 years was nothing. It's like getting all this drug through the mud and then quitting. I'm not built that way. I'm not built that way. The same confidence that people who don't know me call arrogance is the same confidence that got me out the trash can. Like the same confidence that got me out the trash can is the same confidence some people try to talk about. But without it, I wouldn't have lived past 6. I look, my youngest son is 7 years old. He's 62 pounds. He's got a bird chest, ribs. His body looks like a head, some nipples, and a stomach. That's all I see. When he take off his shirt, that's it. That's all I can't see, nothing else. I don't see nothing else. Chest, nipples, and stomach, right? Where the food goes, the little dark spots on his chest. That's all I see. And when I was his age, I was homeless. My 10-year-old's got these dreads, cools, these pretty white teeth. I was homeless at his age. And 4 years from now, until he's 14, I'm still living in the streets homeless. So what made me get through it, I didn't want that to be my story. I didn't. Now, while we was going through all those, hopefully that answers your question. Someone else put in chat a question about Metro bus. There's no Metro bus here in Galveston. There was no way I could have caught public transportation to Houston and then made that work. Houston is different. And here in Galveston, there's no public transportation. There is a form of public transportation, but the budget's too small. It's just not the same. It's not the same. It doesn't go past Galveston, right? It's for old people. Somebody said Seagull Express. It's for old people. You know, anyway, it's just not the same as a big city, you know, anything. two things really made me struggle. I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, but I feel like I'm supposed to. I had family opposition and drugs. And I'm going to break them both times to you. I didn't do drugs. But don't celebrate me, because I used to sell them. It's where I came from. You know Jay-Z's story, you know mine. Okay? It's where I came from. Where I came from, I'm 7 years old selling drugs to eat. 8, 9. By the time I was 10, I was an expert. Expert. I knew how to cook what was real, and I knew how to cook what was fake to get some money. I knew how to take a candle, boil it in water, a white candle, boil it in water until it got this yellowish tip, like fingernail yellow, put it in the freezer, let it harden up, and then, I don't know if y'all know about cookies, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to teach you how to do everything. And that was how I would make money selling candle wax as crack. Now, I mean, but this is, I mean, you just pull up my jail record if you want to, right? Or you know, follow another interview I did. I mean, my you don't come homeless and not encounter drugs. Come on. That don't make no sense. For any of you to think that I got out this thing unscathed, you're crazy, right? You don't come through the hood with a CIA pump through crack. I'm just saying. Let me not be a conspiracy theorist. I'm just saying. Somebody put crack through the hood. It wasn't us. I don't know who did it, but somebody did it. And those are the two things I struggle with. Going back to what I used to be and my family telling me, go get a job. This isn't working. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but when Tim was talking about all those repossessions, I'm going to keep it real with you. I had to fight in-laws, wife at the time. I had to fight going to go get a job, going to go be a regular person. It was tough. Why don't you just go? This isn't working. So while Tempest is getting repossessions, because I said, trust me, now I got family saying, you're not trustworthy. These lights keep getting cut off. We shouldn't have to live like this. And every month they would. Tough. And the number one thing I knew how to do was flip some money and fix the problem in 30 days. And I'm here to tell y'all, I told Tempest, I can't. I have to do this. I have to figure out how to do it. I have to. I can't go back to what I used to be. I can't do it. I have to. It had nothing to do with fear. I wanted to crack the code. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I will tell you, stop going back to what's familiar. You don't build multi-million dollar companies in familiarity. The only thing that I would have done, if I would have called Cousin Luck, that's a real cousin, real cousin, real deal. Only thing I would have did was not build this company. The fast money would have got me or jail time. Either way, I wouldn't know y'all. That's a different path. That's poverty. Don't go back to poverty because you're familiar with how it works there. Anyway, Tempest, you got a question from Gerald. If you want to pick it for you, go ahead, Gerald.
Hello, everybody. Man, this is so powerful. I tell you what, when you say stop going back to what's familiar, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Could you expound on that just a little bit deeper?
Yeah, absolutely. We have I didn't want to do it in a smart way. What is familiar is what used to work when you were the old you. But when you cast a dream bigger than you, you're no longer allowed to do anything old you would have done. When you say, I want a different level of blessings, you're also saying, I'm going to get to a different level of awareness to get to those different level of blessings. And in my awareness, there was prosperity in air quotes in drugs, but that was never prosperity. It was at the detriment of someone else. And it was a blessing I always had to protect. Everybody listen to me. If it's a righteous blessing, you never have to protect it. If you are with correct motives, you plant the right seeds, you never have to protect it. I do not have to protect this company. I don't. And everyone who is drawn unto me is with correct motives. And if they get in incorrect motives, they find themselves back to correct motives, or they just vibrate out of my reality. So what is familiar is that lower level you. And you don't get to get those high things going back to low level you. Now that can look different for everybody. That could be arguments. You know, some men can't handle. She's pretty. And we go chase a pretty woman. And then what we do is we pull that pretty woman down once we get her. Because we couldn't handle her being pretty. We desired her being pretty, but we couldn't handle her being pretty. So we pulled her to where we're comfortable at. Now stay inside all day. Wear these bag of pants. Why you got on this? Why you got on that? That's the familiar. Hopefully that helps you, Gerald. Good stuff. He said that helps. It was two questions in chat, Tempest. I'll let you answer that. It was Law. You can say what you're saying.
Well, Law was asking, did you know it would? I can't remember what you were speaking on, but I'm pretty sure he remembers how he was asking that question.
Okay, Law, ask me your question, whatever I was talking about.
I mentioned, you said that you would be famous. Did you know that you would, or is that something that you just
predicted? Always knew. I never, you didn't even have to finish that question. When I was 6 years old in the trash can, I always wanted to be rich and famous. Y'all are humble. I never wanted a humble life. Never. I always knew. I'm telling you, some of us are built this way. Okay? You in a trash can, homeless, everybody forgot about you. Psychologically, this makes sense. I'm going to make sure they never forget about me, right? I mean, come on. This just makes sense. I always knew I would be rich and famous. Always. From 6 years old, I always knew I'd be rich and famous and wouldn't nobody gonna stop me. Always knew that. Always knew that. Period. When someone's gonna go, hey Antonio, I'm being like CNN. Did you ever dream of yes, I did. No, let's not take the humble route here. I dreamed of this. I absolutely did. I brought it into existence because it's the only thing that I thought about. What happened, Law, is my motives about that changed. I wanted to be rich and famous because I didn't want anyone to ever have the audacity to forget me again. I ended up being rich and famous because I didn't want anyone else to be forgotten in their own life. And I think I saw the level of what it is, make or die and try. Oh, yeah, it was the make it or die, try and mindset. For me, fact, this would be a good question for Tempest too. It was do or die. Like it was, man, that's not even close enough. It was God, you're going to have to kill me right now. Period. In fact, my team knows that. I say this around here all the time. You're going to have to take me out, kill me right now, because I'm going to do it. Now, y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. I literally said this here, and I still say it to this day. They all know if I say Tempest, Shannon, in fact, Shannon was the first one to catch it. I don't even know if she's on the call. Shannon was the first one to catch this here. When I say we're going to do something, I say I'm willing to die for it. And when I say I'm willing to die for it, they are trusting me saying, now God's going to have to kill me. Or if he finds me valuable, he better go ahead and give it to me because I'm doing it anyway. Man, I'm trying to teach. Man, go ahead, Tempest. Go. What about you? Was it a do or die mindset?
It was not in the God, you're going to have to take me out type of way, but you know, it was.
Two different people. I do understand.
You're
the
God
pretty side of me.
I didn't want God to take me out. No, I wasn't there. But it was either make it or go back to dysfunction, go back to what I desperately wanted saving from. You know, it was either we gonna make it, or I'm gonna go back to struggling, and I didn't want to struggle anymore. And I know people say that, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to watch my mom another second try to figure out how things don't work out. I didn't want that stress on her. And I didn't want to keep watching her kill herself at a job that wasn't worthy of it.
There's so much there. Tiffany, before we move on from that, how important, now this is a real question, and I'm, brace yourself, because it may make you tear up.
Oh,
how important would you, with your awareness mind, on the other side of all this, I want to say trash, but it was purpose. On the other side of all this purpose,
mm-hmm.
Your mom struggled. She struggled a lot. A few times mm-hmm. She almost died.
Yeah. My mom almost died. What, like 4 years ago?
Yep. Yep.
I like, not an exaggeration. My mom almost died.
Yep. How important, because we've got some folk, well, I don't even want to qualify. How important would you say, I'm sorry, I told you. but it needs to come out because it's real. It's real. How important would you say that your mom almost dying and all that struggle she went through, and it was terrible. How much, what percentage would you say that is responsible for the success of the ATS company today?
100%.
All right, pause real quick before you say something else. Everybody, your mother's trouble is for you.
Oh, wow. Bye. Okay.
Hey, some of y'all, now you use mother as a metaphor. Some of y'all are trying to protect something, someone, and you have no idea. You have no idea that the reason you're getting ready to be successful is going to be 100%. Because of their struggle. Oh, I almost changed this whole phone call. All right, Tiffany, expound on that. Expound on that before I start preaching up in there. Expound on that. So your mom, 100%. And let me tell y'all, I did not build this by myself. I did not. And I built it with Tempest, obviously. But then there's a point to where me and Tempest can't even say we built this by ourselves. We wouldn't be nowhere without our team. We really wouldn't. We really wouldn't. That being said, Tempest, would you open up in more details how important your mother's, you don't see it then, but how important your mother's struggle was to the success of this company and how she's going to be taken care of for the rest of her life now because she struggled?
Okay, so I don't think I've ever told you this story, but I remember I was like 10 or 12. My mom was a single mom, and I remember she made dinner. I think it was like spaghetti or something, and it wasn't enough for three people, right? I grew up with an older brother. If y'all know anything about boys, they eat like crazy, okay? So, and he's skinny, which really pisses me off because I didn't get that, right? So it wasn't enough for three people. So she made sure that me and my brother ate, and it wasn't enough for her. And I don't think she knows this, knows that I know this. I saw her get a bowl of cereal and go back in her room and eat some cereal for dinner. And I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that happened like so many times before, but that was my first time seeing that. And I remember telling myself, man, I'm gonna take care of my mom for the rest of her life, because I never want her to be without ever again. Like, I remember telling myself that 10 or 11, whatever. So I meet Antonio and we're doing this building and all this stuff and struggling. And then my mom gets sick, right? And like have to rush her to the emergency room, and they're checking her blood levels and her whatever. And they're like, ma'am, you shouldn't even be alive right now. Right? And she ended up staying in the hospital for 4 or 5 days because that's just how close to death she was. And I was taking it serious, but when I saw my mom has never, not like that, not in the hospital like that, maybe for like a minor surgery, but I've never seen my mom in a hospital bed, hooked up to machines, and like my brother and I are making life or death decisions. You know what I mean? Talking about power attorney and what's gonna happen next. Like, that's where we were. So I was taking Antonio serious before that, but once I saw that, like, I prayed. And I was like, God, if you heal my mom, I promise I will never BS on this again. A few days later, she was out the hospital. She was at home for a while. And I called Antonio and I was like, we got to get to work. I can't flake on this because I don't have nothing else. And what I thought I could lean on, I can't depend on her no more. Not like that. Because leaning on her is killing her. So I need to flip this, because I need my mom out of her situation, and I need to tell 10-year-old me I can do what I said I was gonna do. So when I'm frustrated, when I'm ready to give up, and I have quit, I have walked away, my mom is in the back of my head, because all I see is her in a hospital bed. All I see is me and my brother talking about, you know what I mean? Talking about what's gonna happen. And I don't get to walk away. I don't get to I don't get to go back to what I used to be. I don't get to go back to what was familiar. Because going back is death for the person I'm trying to take care of. Going back to what's familiar is watching someone I will die for die. And I don't want that. I don't have kids yet. I don't have anything else like that. But I have this parent who has given so much for me. I don't want her to die and I not be able to repay her for that. So that's my motivation. When I don't feel like doing anything, I go back to, but your mom almost died. And I don't get to be comfortable because of that. And I mean, I know Antonio said that, you know, don't know who this is for. Maybe it's not your mom, so don't put it like that. But what are you fighting for? What are you building your legacy for? What are you showing up for? It's, yes, I want money, but it's greater than money in the bank account for me. It's saving someone's life. It's fulfilling a promise that I said I was going to fulfill 20 years ago. And I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person when my mom dies, I have to live with regret because I failed her. Because I was too comfortable, too arrogant, too whatever to do what I said I was going to do. I don't want that. I want to do what I have to do. My mom is going on a trip next year. She don't know it, but I'm going to pay for everything about the trip because that's the lifestyle that she deserves because I said so. So that's it for me. That's it. My mom is everything. It's the only reason why, I don't want to say the only reason why, but it is a major reason why I do what I do. And like Antonio said, a job won't afford me that opportunity. I would never get there at $7.50 an hour. Because I couldn't take care of myself at that. I so couldn't take care of someone else. Antonio?
Yeah. Yeah, I know you enough to know you should have passed it back to me. Well, Tiffany, let's wrap this up. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just explain a few things for you. This is how we started. Tempest and I would take a subject, and we would literally just look at Law's face. You know what? Let me put that. Come on, Law, unmute your mic real quick. let me capture that energy and freeze it in time real quick before we wrap it up. Go ahead. In your own way, express whatever you're going to express.
As far as you mean, talking about my facial expression?
No, it don't even matter. Whatever you want to say, let it come out. I'm not even going to lead you.
No, this just helped me so much because my sister and I are considering, we are going to start a podcast. And the fact that we actually have two hosts in this particular one, it's showing me and teaching me how to actually do it. So I'm just honored to be here and actually see the process, see how it's playing back and forth. And I'm just mind blown because this is what we want to do. So for you guys to actually, you know, invite all of us in on it, I'm just like, wow, okay, so we can do this now. Let me do this. Let me do that. So I'm appreciative.
No doubt. I appreciate you. My friend, I got a good friend out there, a little lover. She is just super duper awesome. She was texting me like, oh my God, y'all chemistry is so amazing. Me and Tiffany, the chemistry is so amazing. And that was actually, when you go back to the podcast, you'll see a lot of people say that, and that's always the thing we hear the most. What I want to tell you is, Tiffany's going to say something to you, then I'm going to say something to you. But let me tell you what you should have caught. what should be caught is this very simply. We never tried to front. We did not try to be bigger than what we were. We, 2014, we were flat out broke. We told people we were broke. Okay? We had a relationship with a food bank, and we were faithful to that food bank, and we gave other people food while we were starving. Because that's not what it was for. It wasn't for us, and we had the integrity to make sure we didn't take advantage of that. And we never, ever, ever, we were documenting before Gary Vee said document, at least before we knew about Gary Vee, I should say. We were. And I just want to, you know what? I'm doing mine now, Tippett, so unless you do yours. I just want to encourage you. This is what we call our final thoughts, right? I just want to encourage you, stop fronting. If you work in the ATS network now, stop fronting. The people will sign up with you because you're not fronting. If you get out there and say, hey, these classes have changed my life, I'm telling y'all, if you're looking at my progression right now, it's because of these classes. It has nothing to do with me being great. It has everything to do with the fact that I learned, I studied, and now I'm becoming great. People will buy from you in groves. But if you try to get out there and say, I got my stuff together, y'all need to be like me, no one's, we're natural BS detectors. We know when people are lying. We know when people are lying. Before I forget, I'm done with my motivational part. Tempest, myself, Grace, she doesn't even know it yet, Deanna, and Ken Underhill, we're testing something on your behalf. It's not a sales pitch or nothing like that, but I just want to let you know, if you see some posts from us, we're attempting to make sure that Chantel can get free customers and paid for life. That Jerome can get free customers, paid for life. So I just want to let you know, if you see something, don't panic. Don't get all bent out of shape. It is us developing a system to make sure that if you work hard, we can gift you some residual income. Tempest, last and final words of encouragement and transformation on you.
I would just say, trust the process. I had no idea almost 8 years ago that this would have happened. I had no idea that Doritos and Arizona tea would become a story that people would be inspired by. It wasn't a story. It was our reality and what we could afford at the time. So I would just say trust the struggle, trust the process, and be okay with it. I mean, we complained, I did at least, but it was for a reason. And every once in a while, I think back to, had I walked away the first time a roadblock came, I would have missed out on so much. And I think if you are struggling with where you are and it's not what you think it's supposed to be, just keep going. Because if you quit, you're going to miss out on the blessing of the struggle. I don't want you to just know the struggle. I want you to know the blessing. Law said, do y'all still eat those products? Once I left foster care, I never ate from it. I actually ate some Doritos the other day. But it's been a long time since I grabbed some Doritos. And I had Arizona tea yesterday. And when I shifted, I was like, oh, my Lord, not going back to this. But, yeah, I have. And Sonia says, still like Doritos, but I don't eat them often. What about Arizona tea? We keep Arizonas in the office daily. Okay, well, It's your ministry. I'm trying to upgrade to something else. But yeah, trust the process and keep moving forward. Don't give up, even when it hurts, even when you have to cry yourself to sleep and wake up crying, keep moving forward. But that's all I have to say. Thank you all so much for giving us an hour of your time, an hour and 4 minutes of your time. This was fun. I was not expecting to like recording like this, but here we are. So I guess we'll see you all next week. Have a wonderful and blessed week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. All right, everybody. We appreciate you.
I want to talk to you about your goals and your dreams. What are you waiting for? You waiting for someone to dress you in success? Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Life was meant to be about laughter, joy, and abundance. There's no shortage of money, and success is your moral obligation, but you're still in a thinking mode. Haven't quite worked your way to saying yes. It's time for you to work, grind. Your business needs you to move from a walk to a run. You have been praying for this opportunity. You've been waiting for owners who will look out for your best interest and send most of the money back into the field. Well, ATS is that company. This is what you have been praying for. So now it's on you. Will you care enough about your business to actually take all the freshman level classes? Will you care enough about your business to move towards the sophomore classes and beyond? Over here, we're giving away all the information that takes you to get the 6 and 7 figures and beyond. Over here, we're not satisfied until 97% of our company is actually making money. We're not looking to get rich. We're looking to make you rich. And by default, we'll share an experience of that success with you. You will learn how to do all social media ads. Here, you will learn how to get on a sales call and convert energy into income. Here, you will learn how to code your own app for your business, set up your social media pages, and learn how to build million-dollar sales funnels. And we will give all that information to every single person who wants it. If you want to quadruple your retirement, this is the place. If you want to bring a customer into the company and have the company do most of the work for you to keep them paying you every single month, this is the place. If you want to benefit from the company's success, this is the place. If you want a company to email your customers money-making tips every single day that keeps them loyal to your downline, this is the place. You and I both know the world and how we used to make money, it has changed. You and I both know that all the tactics that you used to use to produce good results, they don't work the way they once did. How many people do you know that have not adjusted to this information age and now they are out of business? Ask yourself, how much more time do you have to waste and be out of business? Here's my advice to you. Stop passing up on opportunities because you're afraid to take another loss. Fear is the enemy of wealth, and comfort is the repellent of millions. Will you answer the call? Or will you just get excited and be like, wow, this is a great video, and do nothing? The choice is yours. Let us celebrate your retirement. Let us celebrate your millions. Let us celebrate you and break you through the glass. This is ATS, and this is your moment.
I am determined to be rich.
The middle class is not for me.
I need news that cares about me.
And not news that's gonna scare me or make me mad at another people group.
I need news without politics.
And I want news that will point me to the money.
This is the news where it happens.
The moments that change the world.
These are the stories we need.
The info that we care about.
We only give you news
that puts money in your pocket.
And the news
that gives us an advantage.
This is the work that continues.
Who we are today.
And what we can become. come.
Tomorrow.
That's it.
This is where news without agendas can lead us.
Your wealth matters.
This is why more perspectives
make us stronger.
And how our mission can inspire
tomorrow.
This is journalism that helps the world we live in.
This
is
Mexit News.